Hello, everyone. Welcome to Summit Church Fenton Online. I'm so glad you've joined me today, and I look forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Over the past many weeks, I've been conducting a series on the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to continue with that today. If you've missed any of the past sessions, I would encourage you to go into the archives. You can find all of the previous sessions on the Ten Commandments that I've taught. They're all there for you for free. You can go get those. And if you've missed any of those, I'd recommend that you listen to them, because anytime a series is being taught, you need to hear all the parts of the series. So many times, I've noticed this over the years, you know, I'd be teaching, you know, let's say a five-part series or whatever, and somebody would catch, you know, the second part and the fourth part. And you know, they get confused because they didn't hear what went before, or they didn't hear, you know, what's going to come later. You need to hear the whole thing to get the fullness and the context of everything that's being said, you know. So if you've missed any of those previous sessions, I'd encourage you to go listen to them. Again, they're all there for you for free. And then, you know, we'll continue here today. Now, the Ten Commandments, one of the lists where they are in the Bible is in Exodus, the 20th chapter, and you can read through there and read them all in detail. I'll just list them for you. Remember, your assignment, if you've been following along with me, is to memorize the Ten Commandments in order, and not only have them memorized, but live them, you know, live according to them. But anyway, number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol, you know, an idol to bow down to worship it. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain is number three. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six is you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. And that's the one we're going to be looking at today, as we've already covered the first seven. We're going to look at number eight today, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness, or you shall not lie. And then number 10, you shall not covet. And we'll get to numbers 9 and 10 as we move along. But today, we're going to look at you shall not steal. Now, before I get into this not stealing, you know, that just a little recap or a little mini review here. The Ten Commandments are summed up in one word, and that is love. You know, in the Old Testament, you can see that there's over 600 commandments, I believe it was, that God gave, and they can all be summed up in the Ten Commandments. And then those Ten Commandments can all be summed up in one word, and that's love, you know, unconditional love, you know, loving God and then loving others as the Lord Jesus loves us. And if we'll walk in love, we'll automatically be keeping the Ten Commandments. Of course, Jesus said that if we loved him, we would keep his commandments. And so keeping the commandments are very important. But remember this, keeping the Ten Commandments do not save us, as some people think. You know, some people think that it's the good works of keeping the Ten Commandments that save us. The Ten Commandments do not save us. We're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And thank God for it, because nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. You know, I mean, in and of themselves, we've all missed it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So thank God for his grace. And he sent Jesus to the cross, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood, and all of that, you know, wonderful, wonderful grace of God that he showed us there through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we turn from sin and place our faith in Jesus. That's what saves us. But once we're saved, then the Holy Spirit empowers us to keep the Ten Commandments, and so it's very important, you know. Now remember, we're not under the Mosaic law, but we're under grace, you know, as I just said. And again, what I'm doing here is just recapping some of the highlights of what I've shared over the last couple of several weeks. But we're not under the Mosaic law. We're under God's grace. Yet, you need to remember this, God cannot be separated from His commandments. Yeah, I mean, yes, we're saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the keeping of the Ten Commandments do not save us. A lot of people think, oh, if I keep all the commandments, that's going to get me into heaven. But it doesn't. You know, faith in Jesus is what gets us into heaven. But once we have faith in Jesus, as I just said, the Holy Spirit empowers us to keep the commandments, to keep the Ten Commandments. And God cannot be separated from His commandments. And, you know, I tell you what, people that think that they can, you know, will have faith in Jesus and then just live however they want, and they can just disregard the Ten Commandments and just live however they want, that is not in line with the teaching of the Bible. You've got to understand that. You have to know that. I want to say it again. There's a lot of people think, well, I just believe on Jesus and, you know, get my ticket punched to heaven, if you will, and then I just live however I want. Just, you know, disregard the Ten Commandments because, you know, we're not under the law, we're under grace, and you just live however we want. You know, hey, they accuse the Apostle Paul of teaching that, you know, just, you know, you get saved and through faith in Jesus and then live however you want. And he said, Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, certainly not. God forbid, certainly not. So you have to remember that, yes, we're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus, but then we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to live right, live holy, and live in line with the Ten Commandments. And God cannot and will not be separated from His commandments. So I tell you, if you think you could just, you know, believe on Jesus and live however you want, that, you know, that, and don't have to adhere to the Ten Commandments, you're mistaken. I'll tell you what, if you're truly born again and you break those commandments, you're going to be grieved on the inside. The Holy Spirit in you, if you're truly born again and you're not living according to the Word of God, and you know, and you've got sin in your life, you're going to be grieved on the inside. If you're not living right and you're not grieved on the inside, there's something bad wrong. You need to check up, see if you really got saved to start with. I'll tell you something else too. You could be you could get born again, all right, and you can dabble in sin, and the longer you do, your heart can become callous. That's a dangerous place to get, dear friends. But you know, I'm saying more on this than I wanted to here, but I try to follow the leading of the Spirit of God as I'm teaching, and just feel that He wants me to, you know, camp on that just a little bit, you know, that, you know, God cannot be separated from His commandments. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but you can't separate God from His commandments. Once you're saved, then you need to live according to the Word of God. Absolutely. And so you need to understand that. Now let me continue with my notes here. We're not under the Mosaic Law, we're under grace, yet God cannot be separated from His commandments, as I've said. And you need to realize all 10 of the commandments can be substantiated and backed up in the New Testament. You know, and even, you know, from Acts to Revelation, if you don't even look at the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, because people will argue, and you know, and rightly so, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's still under really the Old Covenant, until Jesus is raised from the dead. But you look at Acts and then certainly Romans through Revelation, the epistles to the church, the letters to the church, you can back all 10 commandments up very strongly with from New Testament scripture. The only exception to that was commandment number 4 with the Sabbath day, and I covered that extensively back when I talked about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So you can go back and listen to that in the archives and get caught up on what I meant by that. But even though the keeping of the Sabbath is not taught in the New Testament, the principle of the Sabbath is there. So anyway, but you could go back in the archives and catch up on what I, if that threw you off right there, what I just said about the Sabbath, go back in the archives and listen to what I had to say about it, and that'll help you out. But anyway, you can't separate God from His commandments, and the New Testament backs up all 10 commandments. Absolutely. And of course, at the end of each commandment, or somewhere during the teaching on the commandments, I give you New Testament verses to back up that commandment. But one New Testament verse that backs up all the commandments is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, says, follow peace with all men, or follow peace with all people and holiness. Underline that, and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Now you think about that, and that backs up everything I just said about, you know, you can't just believe on Jesus and then live however you want. Because if you just live it however you want and dabbling with sin or practicing sin, you need to remember, I need to say this, I've said it many times, but there's a difference between blundering, you know, blundering, making a mistake, sinning, messing up. You know, there's a difference between that and practicing sin. You need to understand that. Now both are wrong, but there's a big difference between blundering, making a mistake, and practicing living a lifestyle of sin. You need to understand that there is a big difference there. All right. We all blunder and make mistakes. You know, we don't have to, but we do. And when we do, we need to repent and ask, you know, the Lord to forgive us, and He will. Somebody said, you know, I'm living right before the Lord. I'm doing everything I know to do. And what if I do something wrong and I don't even realize it's wrong? Well, you can see in the book of 1 John, if somebody's walking in the light of the Word, you know, all the light of the Word of God that they have, if they're messing up, they don't even realize they're messing up. There's an automatic cleansing that goes on. For people, Christians who are, when I say Christians, I'm talking about people that really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're living, walking in all the light of the Word of God that they have, and they make mistakes, and commit sin. They don't even realize it was sin. There's a great grace there that if we're walking in the light of the Word, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, you know, we have fellowship with the Lord, and His blood cleanses us from all sin. Even if we miss it, we don't even realize we missed it. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? But if you blunder, repent. You know, if you realize you made a mistake, repent and ask the Lord to forgive you, and He will. But I'm talking about a difference between blundering and practicing sin. There's a big difference there. It's a dangerous place to live in a lifestyle of practicing sin. It just is. Follow peace with all men, or with all people, and holiness. See, if the and holiness part, that covers all 10 commandments. Living in line with those commandments. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which, now this is so serious, without which no one shall see the Lord. That's a sobering verse, isn't it? But I believe that one backs up all the 10 commandments. So that's a recap of what, you know, some of the main things I've been saying as we've gone in this series. And somebody said, why do you review each time? Well, repetition, remember, is the seed of learning. And I heard a minister say that years ago, and boy, that is so good. And so it's good to review. And I know when I was teaching school, the more I'd review things with my math students, the better chance they had of remembering it when the test came. So anyway, let's get into this eighth commandment here. You shall not steal. It's Exodus 20, verse 15. You shall not steal. Now, steal means to take something from someone without their permission. I mean, that's pretty simple. To take something from someone without their permission. And you know, when you talk about stealing, a lot of people right away think about robbing a bank. And of course, you know, that's stealing, all right. You know, or breaking into somebody's house, you know, and robbing them, you know, and that's stealing, all right. Absolutely. And those are just obvious forms of stealing. I think we all know what stealing is. You know, and I gave you two obvious, you know, incidents of robbing a bank or breaking into somebody's house and, you know, and taking their things. But, and in the day in which we live, you know, with burglar alarms and cameras everywhere, and you know, that makes it more difficult for the thieves. Thank God for all the technology. And thank God I've got a good burglar alarm on my house. Somebody said, well, you mean you're not trusting the angels? Well, are you not trusting God to use the angels to keep your house safe? Absolutely. 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 I trust the Lord. You know, I trust the Lord to protect my house and my goods? And I, absolutely I do. Absolutely. And you know, the Bible says, except the Lord guard the city, they labor in vain that, you know, keep watch, putting that in my own words. But I mean, yes, I trust God. I trust him to use the angels to keep my house safe. But I believe it's like one minister said, you have the supernatural and the realm and the natural realm coming together that make an explosive force for God. So I'm trusting God to protect me from thieves. But I also have a real good burglar alarm. Absolutely. That's the natural realm. See? So you got the supernatural realm and the natural realm coming together. And that's a good deal, you know? And on top of all that, I have a good insurance policy. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, absolutely. See? So you, that's a good thing. Oh, you just don't have any faith. You know, Pastor Terry, you ought to just trust God. I'm trusting God. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm trusting him to use the angels that he's assigned to me and my wife to keep things safe. Absolutely. But also got a good burglar alarm. You better believe it. And I got a good insurance policy. So glory to God. But many people think about robbing a house or robbing a bank as stealing, and it is. But there's different kinds of stealing that sometimes people overlook. And that's kind of what I want to center in on here today. We're not supposed to steal. Absolutely not. But, you know, here's one that I think people don't think about is time theft. Time theft. You know, the Robert Half Personnel Agencies, that's an agency, a company, the Robert Half Personnel Agency, has calculated that time theft will cost the American economy as much as $70 billion a year. Time theft. Time theft is defined as those deliberate employee actions which result in the massive growing misuse and waste of time. Think about that. Estimated time theft are, and here's some examples, arriving to work late. Now, anybody's going to be late once in a while, but when you're running late regularly, You're stealing from your employer, and it's not going to probably go on too long where they'll tell you just don't show up at all. You get fired. And, I tell you what, I'll just be honest. All the years that I pastored in person, now we have the online church, you know, Summit Church, Fenton Online. You know, one thing I don't miss all the people that would come late to church service. I don't miss that at all. I don't miss it at all. I don't miss watching. And look, anybody's going to be late now and then. I've been late. My wife's been late. We've all run late. But I tell you what, I watched over 27 years. I watched better than half of my congregation, I'd say that's a fair estimate, and more than that, really, I'm being kind. But I would watch people drag into the house of God late, slop in there late, coming in late, dragging in late. I mean, and it's not just a problem that was at Summit Christian Church. I tell you what, I talked to many pastors throughout the land, and you ask just about any pastor, they'll tell you. People come to church late. It is just a dishonor of the house of God. Absolutely, it's a dishonor of the house of God. And I get my dander up, but I watch Christians slop in, drag themselves in to the house of God late. It's really just so disrespectful. I got 27 years of dander built up on the inside of me. It's so disrespectful to slop in and drag into the house of God late, week after week after week after week. And I've even watched people, you know, come to church. Anybody's going to be late once in a while. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a lifestyle of slopping in late. And then people come in and then they think God's going to use them in the service, you know, with some sort of, you know, spiritual gift. Now, you need to respect the house of God. Get there on time. Get there early. Get there early. Get there a little bit early. I also watch this. You know, the worship service would start and you'd have people out in the foyer and they'd lallygag out there and talk. I'm all for talking and fellowshipping, but when the worship starts, people need to be in the service, ready to go. And, now a lot of times I would come in to the service after it got going. And the reason I did is because if I'd come out there before I'd preach, so much of the time I'd have the joy suckers would get a hold of me and I'd be ready to go get in that pulpit and flow with the Holy Ghost, you know, and teach. And, but the joy suckers. Yeah, you heard me. I said the joy suckers and every church has them and they'll just start going on. And I'm all for talking to people, but I'd do it after the service and stand at the door for years. I stood back there and talked to people after the service. Want to be very touchable, but I didn't come out into service until after it got started because I didn't want the joy suckers to get a hold of me and start telling me all their problems, all this, all that, all the other. And I'm sensitive to all that. And I want to help people with their problems, but there's some people that's all, I mean, I'm talking, there's a difference between people having a problem and, you know, they need to talk to their pastor, and then the people that are just, all they want to do is just talk and just suck the joy out of you. Glory to God. I didn't intend to say any of that, but it'll help you if you're a pastor out there, you know what I'm talking about. And, if you're a joy sucker, repent and don't do that to your pastor. But I've already showed up at church flying higher than a kite, ready to teach the word of God. And by the time I got in the foyer and got into my office and got in the pulpit, and then you get out there and then you got half, there's only about a third of the people are there because two thirds are going to drag in late. And then you got the joy suckers sucking on you. You get up there, and by the time you get up there to preach and people coming in, people talking in the foyer. Oh my gosh. Why don't we just all get to church early and let's have fellowship. Just don't suck the joy out of your pastor or out of other people. Just talk about good things. If you have a problem, then I'm happy to talk to people. Absolutely. I think you get what I'm saying. Let's be on time. Let's be ready to go and let's be happy. What do you say? I didn't intend to say any of that, but arriving to work late, leaving early, leaving early. I wonder, has anybody ever left their job early, snuck out early, taking unjustified sick days? You know, I pastored 27 years and had perfect attendance in the pulpit. And I'm not saying that to boast me, but perfect attendance. The only time I missed is when we were on vacation, the little vacations we took. Perfect attendance. I don't know if when I was in Bible school, if you had a memory, you had memory verses, and if you remembered a verse during the break, when you had the Kool-Aid and the cookies, if you remembered a verse afterward, you get a gold star on your poster there, you know, on the billboard. And I had 10 stars in a row. I'd remember my verse. So maybe I get some extra stars on that. Vacation Bible school is what I'm trying to say. Vacation Bible school board for my perfect attendance. I don't know. But and when I taught school, I had almost perfect attendance. I only had a couple of days where I missed because I wasn't feeling well. but this time theft, all right? What about extensive socializing with coworkers? I mean, let's socialize, but don't do it extensively. And again, I want to say this. People fellowshipping before service starts, that's great. I'm talking about the worship service has started and the worship leader's trying to, and you ask my wife, she'll tell you, and the worship leader's trying to, you know, lead worship and you got half your congregation coming in late or more. And then you got people standing out in the foyer talking about who knows what, you know. Let's get in and start on time and worship God. That's what we're there for. What about turning the water cooler area into a conversation pit and taking too long or breaks? Time theft, inattention to the job at hand, reading novels and magazines on the job, doing other things on the job. I remember when I worked for the golf pro years ago, back when I was a kid, he told me, he said, because I was going to college at the same time, he told me, he said, you get all your work done and you're waiting on everybody that comes in and taking the green fees and all of that, you know, if you're doing your job, you got extra time, you want to study, he said, you can do that. Oh, and I did, but I got my job done. And then if I had extra time, I would sit back in his office and study. But if somebody came into the pro shop, I'd put my book down and I'd go wait on the customer. And boy, that guy I worked for, his first name's Tommy. Great man. I tell you what, great man. He is a great guy to work for. But I wasn't stealing from him because he said I could do that. Now, if he would have told me not to do that and I was back there studying, now that's, you know, what I should have been. Now that would have been stealing from him. You see, reading novels, magazines on the job, operating a business on the side during work hours. You know, when you're working for somebody else and you're on the phone running your own business, if you don't have permission from your employer to do that, then that's stealing from him. Eating lunch at the desk and then, you know, like eat your lunch at the desk and then taking your lunch break on top of that. I mean, these are just ways of time stealing that this Robert Half agency found that people do, and they're stealing from their employers. Excessive personal phone calls, emails, texts, daydreaming, long frequent coffee or snack break. Time theft, $70 billion a year. See, we don't think about that. We think about robbing a bank or breaking into somebody's house. But time theft, here's another one, embezzlement. Embezzlement is the misuse or misappropriation of something that has been entrusted to us. Embezzlement is frequently an offense of a bank employee or of a comptroller of a corporation that have access to the money. Embezzling. That's probably a more obvious one than time theft, but embezzlement. You know, Judas Iscariot, he was Jesus's treasurer. He was an embezzler. Absolutely. And then there's extortion. Extortion means it gains possession of another person's property by the illicit use of authority. Now that's one form of extortion. I suspect there's other things we could say, but, it's like, for example, a city condemning someone's prime property for their use. I've watched that. I've heard of that. And I'm thinking of two, actually. I'm thinking of two people that I knew very well. One was a railroad and the other was a highway department came through and they essentially said, you know, you're going to cut a deal with us. And if you won't, we'll condemn your property and we'll take it, you know, we'll take it away from you, eminent domain or whatever. And that can get over into extortion. I remember much I could say about it, but I'll keep it brief. But I remember when back years ago when we bought the property to build Summit Christian Church on, I know the county, they call it dedicate. I called it steal. We're talking about stealing here today. You shall not steal. But before they'd give us the building permits, they wanted us to dedicate, I think it was, I don't know, a 30, 40, 50 foot strip along the front frontage of the property so that if they ever wanted to widen the road, they'd have a right to do it. And they didn't give us any money for it or anything. They just said, you know, they called it dedicate that to them. Dedicate, we had to sign it over to them, the 50 foot strip along the front of the property, or they wouldn't give us the building permits. We're talking about extortion. And I could have seen it if they would give us fair market value for it, but they just said, you give that to us or you don't get the permits. That's extortion, you know, and they called it dedicating the ground, and I called it stealing. I remember back in those days, they made us dedicate that 50 foot, I say it might have been 40 foot, whatever it was, that strip along the front of the property. And I know there was a telephone pole on it. And then they told us to move that telephone pole that was on our property. They made us dedicate that piece to them, that strip, and that telephone pole was on that strip. And they said, now get that telephone pole off our property. And that would have been expensive enough. But there, to move that one telephone pole, there was about 8 other telephone poles that would have had to been moved onto other people's property. That was a mess. And I tell you what, well, thank God through much prayer and a good attorney, we didn't have to move that telephone pole, and it still stands there to this day. But so we're talking about extortion. Here's another form of extortion: charging an excessive price for something. We see that in the time in which we live. I mean, gas prices, you know, are too high. I think there's extortion going on in that. And food prices, you know, are too high. And that's another form of extortion. Here's another form of extortion. If we know that an item is very valuable, but somebody else doesn't know that it is, and we take advantage of someone, you know, like, I don't know what would be a good example. Like if we went to a garage sale, and we see an item there that is an antique that somebody is selling for $5, but we know that thing is really worth $1,000. I mean, this kind of gets over into lying, I guess, too, a little bit, but stealing. I mean, if we know that item would be worth $500,000 and they're selling it for $5 or $10, you know, and for us to go ahead and buy it, and then I just, there's something slimy about that. There just is. And so I believe that'd fall under the category of stealing. Here's another one. You know, you've heard the old saying, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, you know. But let me tell you this, failure to return something lost. If you find something and you fail to return that to its owner. Now, if you don't know who the owner is, I mean, now, you know, I remember one time I was walking in the grocery store when I was a kid. I looked down, $5 bill. Oh, wow. And I mean, I picked that up and my grandma saw me and I had that $5 bill, man. She said, Teddy, she was German, you know, she spoke fluent German and English was her second language. Teddy, she said, you know, as long story short, we had to take it up to Mr. Brown, who ran the IGA, and we had to be sure that nobody claimed it. And once that was cleared, then I got to keep that $5, see? But my grandma made sure I did the right thing, but she had to take her cane and grab me around the neck because I wanted to keep that $5. But I did get to keep it, but through honest means. But be that as it may, but if failure to return something lost to its owner is stealing, according to Leviticus and Deuteronomy in the Bible, if you find something that someone lost, it must be returned to the rightful owner. Absolutely. So if you find something, you need to, you know, like if you find that wallet, you know, somebody's wallet, you know, and, you know, turn it over to the authorities, or I guess, you know, look in to see if their license is in there and try to contact the person. And if there's a lot of money or any money in it at all, don't steal any of that. You know, that's theirs. And you know what? You do the right thing, you return that, they're liable to give you a reward. You know what I mean? But don't tell them, you know, oh, hey, here, I found your wallet, but there was no money in it when really there was $500 in it. You know, that's stealing. Don't steal. I remember a certain minister told me years ago when I was just starting in the ministry, just looking towards going in the ministry, this traveling minister told me that he had preached at a church for, I don't know, he was a traveling minister. He preached at the church for a week or whatever it was. He did a revival. And then as he was leaving, they for the whole week, they gave him, I don't know, they gave him like $500 or something for the whole week. And when he was walking to his car, the lady comes up to him and says, did you get it? Did you get it? And he said, did I get what? She said, because the church had given him the offering for the week and he was leaving. He was getting in his car to leave because the revival was over and they gave him $500. And she said, did you get it? Did you get it? And he said, did I get what? She said, did you get that $10,000 I put in the offering for you? Thou shalt not steal. That church was, they stole from that man. Absolutely. Here's another one we got to watch. Mistakes in your favor. Now, these are just some things that people don't think about, but have you ever been given more change back than you were due? Huh? Has that ever happened to you? See, that's a testing point right there. You know, if they gave you, you know, you're supposed to get back, you know, $5 or they gave you back 10 or something of that nature. Has that ever happened? That's a testing point right there to see if you're honest or not. Are you an honest person or not? You find out right there. You really do. Or if there's a bank, if the bank makes a mistake or your charge card company makes a mistake in your favor, do you report it to them? You know, not long ago, and that's a testing point right there to see if you're honest or not. You see, and you find it's the little things. You don't need big things to find a lot of things out about yourself. It's those little things. You know, like not long ago, you know, because we use Amazon quite a bit, and we got an Amazon delivery, and they gave us twice as much of what we were supposed to get, and you know, you've got flesh just like I do, absolutely, and I've been saved a long time and I've been trying to keep my flesh under control for a long time. Like the Apostle Paul said, I keep under my body, you know, keep it under control. But I still have this flesh to deal with. And you look in there and you're supposed to get, you know, three things of toothpaste and they gave you six. You know, you think you got flesh just like I do. You're thinking, wow, you know, well, you know, they never know the difference. There's a test, and you return it. And before I even got that far, really before I even got to the testing point, my wife had already reported it to him, and rightly so, and I would have too. But I'm just saying, I'm just trying to help you. You're just as human as me, and those are tested. Are we honest or not? And you find out with those little things, you know, it's not the... Yeah, there's a scripture in the Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. You know, is that those big things? And remember, the spiritual principle, if you're not honest in little things, you're not going to be honest in big things. Say it another way. If you're a thief in little things, you're going to be a thief in big things. Absolutely. And so we return the double portion that they sent us. But there are some people would have looked at that. I'm talking Christians that I've met, and they would have said, woohoo, the Lord has blessed me with a double portion. And they'd have kept it, and they'd have done that right. Thievery is what that is. Absolutely. No, it wasn't a double portion. It was a mistake. And the Lord would say, now, commandment 8, you'll not steal, and return what is it yours? Okay. Because I've seen people, you know, that was a mistake at the bank and they had hundreds of dollars put in their account by mistake. And they think, oh, the Lord's blessed me with that. No, it was a mistake. And be honest and report that. And I tell you what, God will bless you. And when he gets done blessing you, it'd probably be more than that money you'd have got with that ill-gotten gain there, you see. Amen. Here's another one is petty theft. You know, we must beware not to steal on the job or anywhere else, but just think of this. Petty theft is one of the most costly losses of American business. Tools mysteriously disappear along with supplies ranging from paper, pencils, pens, paper clips, even to more costly items. Services can be stolen. We may ask others. Here's one. Ask your secretary, for example, to do personal work for us when she's supposed to be doing, you know, work that pertains to that business. And then you ask her to do personal things, you know, like using the copy machine at work for personal copies, you know, without permission. You know, I had to deal with that when I was, now we have copy machines, you know, that we have, but back years ago when I'd go to school, the only access I had to a copy machine was at school when I taught at you know, the school district. And boy, there's times I was tempted, you know, to make, you know, do some copies of my sermons and things, because I had the church, we'd started the church, and then I was still teaching school there for about 4 years. And I tell you what, I was tempted at times, I got flesh just like you do. I was tempted at times to make copies of my sermons at the school, but see, that would have been stealing. You know, now if the principal would have said it was okay, but I never did ask because I don't think they would have approved that. So, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but it used to be back all those years ago when I didn't have much extra paper back there then. So I'd take old test papers, you know, and old notes, math notes, and I'd write my sermons up on the back. This is when we first started the church, and I'd be up teaching. I'd be up teaching the guys in the front row. And most people didn't sit in the front row, but I had a couple of guys that did back there. Then I think they did, because they'd try to work my math problems out while I was teaching, you know. But anyway, if you make copies at work, and you shouldn't be, that's stealing. See, and see, these are things we don't think about. So that's why the Lord has me standing here doing what I'm doing here now, just to point some things out to you. And I'm not going to hit all the areas, but these are some things we need to think about. Don't take pens home that don't belong to you. That can cost you. I mean, it really can. Is that little pen worth? God may have a big blessing over here that He wants to bless you with, but He can't or won't do it because you're stealing something petty over here. And if we just be honest in these little things, God, He'd bless us with some big things. I'm convinced of it. If we'll be faithful in little, He'll bless us with much. Absolutely. Here's another one. What about copyrighted items? Here's a good example. back years ago, you know, you'd buy a computer program, and it'd be costly. And then back years ago now, and then you'd be tempted to. I know there's this one fella. You know, we had bought a program for the church, and this one minister, he wanted me to, you know, let him use that. Well, you can't do that. That's you know. So, well, I bought it. I could do whatever I want with it. Well, to let him use that's stealing. Right? It's violating I don't know, copyright or whatever. There's copyrighted things you can, you know, violate that and get over into thievery. But if I let him use that, you know, load that thing on his computer, see, that's stealing. He's supposed to buy his own, you know, and you got to watch that. And these little petty things, you know, God could have a big blessing over here for you, but you're stealing these little petty things here. It's wrong, and He can't or won't bless you with the, you know what I mean, the big stuff, because we're over here stealing paper clips or pens or pencils or copies of paper or whatever it is. You understand? Let's be honest in things. What do you say? You know, so now the computer programs, I think they're set up where you can only like load them on one computer and then they won't even work, load on anybody else's or whatever. I don't know how all that works, but I'm just trying to point some things out that we need to think about. What about this one? Because we're just right here in the tax season. What about not reporting all of your income or goods to be taxed? You know? I mean, you may go along a long time down the road and never get caught. But I tell you what, if you do get caught, you're going to be in trouble. You're already in trouble with God if you do that. But if the authorities catch you, I tell you what, you're going to be in real trouble, because you're going to wind up paying all that tax plus penalties and interest. It could look at going to jail even. You know, it's just not worth it. Just be honest. Just be honest. And I tell you what, then you can sleep well at night and don't have to worry. And if somebody does check on you and check you out, you don't have nothing to be afraid of, because you've been honest. You know, you understand. But a lot of people cheat on their taxes, and you know, A lot of people do that for a long time, and they don't, if you get audited, you get caught. But, you know, but God sees it all. And just be honest. Just be honest. And then here's one, Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? We're talking about thou shalt not steal. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. Last book in the Old Testament, Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Think about it, how can a man rob God? How can a man rob God? He said, yet you've robbed me. And you say, what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You think about that. Now, if you're not a tither and a giver, then you're a thief, is what God said. I didn't say that. God said that, Malachi 3:8. Somebody said, well, that's under the law, Pastor Terry. Well, let me ask you this. Would God ask you to do less under the law than he would under grace? Huh? And you can get in there and you can preach a principle of tithing right out of the New Testament. Absolutely, you can. But, you know, if people that don't, you know, tithe and give offerings to the work of God, you know, to their local church, God looks at those people as thieves. Absolutely. Malachi 3:8, you can see it. So let me close. I could go on and on with this. Let me just close. You know, Proverbs 10:2 in the NIV, New International Version, says this, ill-gotten treasures are of no value. Think about that. Even a treasure, you know, a treasure is so valuable, but if it's ill-gotten, it says it's of no value. Because if you've stole it, it doesn't belong to you, you're not going to be able to enjoy it, and the wages of sin, because it's stealing, wages of sin is death. Any ill-gotten gain that you've ever gotten, you really, ultimately, the Bible says there it's of no value. So you need to remember that. And let's just be honest in all things. I need to say that there's these little things, like seriously, like making copies on a work copy machine or taking pencils or pens or paper clips these little things that people do. If it doesn't belong to you and you're taking those without permission from your boss, you're stealing. Come on now. And God could well have some big blessings he wants to bless you with, but these little petty things are holding you back. Stop doing that. Repent of it. Ask the Lord to forgive you and just be honest in all things and God will bless you. Ill-gotten treasure, there's no value. Hey, if you're not a tither and a giver, hey, you need to be. You just do. I could preach for hours on it, but I'm not going to right now. But these are just some ways to steal that a lot of people don't even think about. Hey, let me close with two verses from the New Testament that back up this eighth commandment. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer. Okay, so there it is. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Glory to God. And then here's another one. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, some of my favorite verses in the Bible. I told you that I think last week, but it bears repetition. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, we talked about that last week, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves. Now that's what we're talking about today. Nor thieves what? Shall inherit, listen to this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then it says, don't be deceived. The Bible says, don't be deceived. It's real easy to be deceived, so don't be deceived. Neither fornicators will inherit the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Sodomites, that's just another word, the way I see it, for homosexual. Lesbians, sexually immoral, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then with that group is, nor thieves, right? Nor covetous. We're going to get that on the 10th commandment. Nor drunkards. See, you think of the 10 commandments, but there's other things to think about too, like drunkenness, huh? Drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. We talked about that. That's a form of thievery. None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. But my favorite part is this, and such were some of you. See, these people in Corinth had been that way, but they repented, gave their lives to the Lord Jesus, received Him as Savior and Lord. They got saved, and then they started living. You know, they had their problems. They were messed up and all that. Just like all of us, we got to, you know, get our flesh under control and live in line with the Word of God. But the point is, they were that. And you know, a lot of times preachers will beat down on those first two verses, and they're in the Bible. They're very important. Those, don't be deceived. Those people that practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, but such were some of you. Good news. Such were some of you, but you're washed. See, when we repent of our sins and repent of these things and receive Jesus and trust in Him, that we get washed with His, it's a spiritual washing with His holy blood. And He says, you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So look, if you're out there and you've been a thief, okay, then, it's like on Dennis the Menace. Remember, if you watch the most recent version with Walter Matthau played Mr. Wilson and this little kid played Dennis, they did a great job. And then that guy that he was on Back to the Future, I can't remember his name right now, but he played the criminal on Dennis the Menace. And near the end of the movie, they were under that bridge and he had kidnapped Dennis and they were under that bridge and, yeah, that's such a funny scene when that that criminal has Dennis under that bridge, under that railroad. That you ought to go watch. That's hilarious. But somewhere in there, Dennis, he asked him, you know, essentially what do you do, you know, and that guy playing the thief. He looked at Dennis. He said, "I'm a thief." He said, "You little rat, I'm a thief." So if you're out there and you've been a thief, hey, repent of that, turn from it, and ask the Lord to confess it to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you, and He'll do it. Okay. So, all right. Say, and if you've never received Jesus, hey, if you never received Him, you're in trouble. You're headed to hell. Hey, but you can change that quick. Repent of your sins. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on His name. That means one day when you die, you'll miss hell. You'll make heaven. He'll make your life worth living in the meantime. Okay. And if you've been out there and you've been a thief, repent, confess it to the Lord, and then be honest. Be an honest person. Be an honest man. Okay. Be just. Be honest and live according to the commandments, okay? All right, hey, God bless you. I hope you enjoyed this today, and I'll see you next week, and we'll pick up with You Shall Not Bear False Witness. All right, God bless you. Bye-bye.